Well, I suppose we ought to preach a, we ought to minister a word of, to each. We've been going through Matthew, or I have anyway, and everybody else has just had to follow, basically. So, we're going to have a look at Matthew chapter 13. Everybody got Matthew chapter 13? Yeah. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Have you got it as well, Roy? Praise God. Hallelujah. I heard that clearly. This is another young man we're believing for a full recovery. And I, you know, we're going to. God needs to shake the nations. And Jesus did it through signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, he didn't do it by talking. He did it by the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. And the church has got to get back to the power of signs, wonders, and miracles. That's the God we serve. That's what makes us different to every other religion, sect, and cult. Yeah. We have a God who is a creative God. We have a God who is relevant to today. Yeah. And we have a God who is a God of absolute, total miracles. Amen. And that's what should make the church different today. Instead, we're becoming like the world. We're entertaining them with our music. We're entertaining them with our flashing lights. We're entertaining them with our smoke machines. We're imitating the kingdom of heaven. We're imitating what Revelation speaks of in heaven, where there's flashing lights and smoke before the throne of God. Well, I want to see the real flashing light. I want to see the real smoke of God. I want to feel the real power of God. Amen. 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 I don't want imitations. I want to buy the real thing.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You ladies, you don't go and buy imitation Gucci handbags, do you, Rebecca? Mm-mm. No, I mean, it's going to be, it's got to be the real one or nothing. Is that not right?
Yes.
Because the imitation falls apart. The real thing lasts for eternity. You see, the imitation has a short lifespan. The real thing, Christ Jesus, lasts for all eternity. Hallelujah. We serve a living God, we serve a mighty God, we serve a victorious God, we serve a loving God.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And we serve a miracle-working God. Amen. Praise His wonderful name.
Amen.
And Jesus speaking from... Oh, well, he's not speaking from it, is he, actually? He's actually beginning to proclaim it. You know,
yeah.
He hadn't read this bit.
No, he hadn't.
He actually made it all up. I'm getting there, love. I'm just getting there. I'm just warming up, you know, sort of thing. We'll start at verse 2. And a great multitude gathered to him, so that they got into the boat and sat down, and the multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow." Do you know what a parable is? It's a story. It's a way Jesus wants to give you a... I like to talk in stories, me. Because people remember stories. And so Jesus brought stories so that when he's speaking in stories, they begin to understand and relate to what he's saying to them. Amen?
Amen.
And so by doing that, people are remembering what Jesus said. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says, "Behold, the sower went out to sow." And he said, some seed fell beside the roadside, and the birds came and eat up. Others fell on the rocky places, and they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were then scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. We need to listen to what the Spirit of God and what the Word of God is saying to us. You can read this book and you can, if you read it with intellect, you will never, ever find Jesus. This book is a spiritual book. This book is, it's four dimensions, for want of a better word. There was a book written many years ago by Yonggi Cho. Fourth dimension. This book is another dimension beyond our eyes, beyond our minds, beyond our intellect. This book is different. And you have to have the Spirit of God to open this book to you. You know, I've read things in this book for years. And then suddenly one day, you're reading it and the Lord puts a light on one verse of Scripture. And you go, wow, I've never seen it before like that. You've read it 100 times. But you see, it says in Scripture we look through a veil. We need the veil to be removed. But you know, there is coming a day, and I don't mean a day when we get to glory. I mean there is coming a day when this kingdom on earth, the kingdom of God on earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? Hold it. Listen, I was reminded about this by, where is it? It's over there, Bill. Reminded. You know, the prayer has been changed slightly. They now pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Right? Well, the prayer is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Adam was formed out of the dust of the ground. Right? And the kingdom of God had to come into Adam when he breathed into him.
Amen.
The life of God. Amen. This is not the message, by the way. These are the cherries on the top for you. And so, the kingdom of God needs to come in you and in me. We are part of the kingdom. We are the body of Christ. This is where the kingdom lives and resides. When it resides in you, then it affects everybody that we come into contact with.
Yes.
Whether they receive us, we can't do anything about that. But one thing we do is we leave a trail behind us. Hallelujah. I leave a trail behind me wherever I go. Some folks say he leaves a good trail. Some others say, don't ever have him back. That's okay, you know. I remember going into a church many years ago. The Lord sent Grace and I to minister. Early on in our ministry, just gone full time in the ministry with the local church that we were fellowshipping at, just been to Israel, came back, and we were asked to go and run a crusade in Southampton. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I'm fired up. Well, I was trying to get fired up. I spent 6 weeks alone with God preparing to minister for a week at a crusade in this church in Southampton. And after 6 weeks, do you know how many messages I'd got? I ain't got one. I had not got one written down. So, you know, I'd preached before in other places. So I grabbed a folder. And I grabbed all my seed packets. And off we went. First night at the church, we arrive. I grabbed one of my seed packets and took it with me. I knew what I was preaching on. God had told me, you're preaching on something else. And I said, no, I'm preaching on this. So I took my seed packet. And I sat in church, round about where you two were sat. And then I suddenly decided to have a look in my seed packet. Lo and behold, it was the wrong packet. It had got the wrong seed in it. I'm like, oh no. So I turned to the elder at the back of the church and I whispered to him, I said, can you go back to the house and can you go and get this other folder? I need that one. It's a pink one sort of thing. And I'm sat there thinking, oh, dear me. Could do we going to the toilet, you know? And then finally they announced me to come up and preach. And whilst I was hopping from one foot to the next foot, the Lord said to me, he gave me a verse of scripture. So I thought, okay, and I flicked to this verse of scripture. I took this seed he'd given me and I read it and I went, oh God, no. I said it and I said, what else, Lord? He says, that's all. I said, you're kidding. To this day, I don't remember what it was that I started off with. I'm on the platform and the door opens. And the elder walks in, he goes, with my seed packet. And I just stood there and went, forget it. God had another agenda. I had been asked to go and run a crusade. And God had decided we were not running a crusade. We were taking a wrecking ball down. And we were taking a wrecking team to deal with the religious spirits and the things that were in the church. And I'm like, dear God, this, you know, I will not be the flavor. I tell you what, after the second service, a couple and a family walked out on me. And every morning I woke up. And the Lord would give me a scripture to preach on. And I'd look at it and say, oh God, no. Oh God, no, I can't preach that, God. And I would spend the rest of the morning looking for some other seed. And by lunchtime, I'd say, okay, God, what you got for me? And he'd take me back to the same scripture. And you know, for the next 18 months after we left that church, God sent men who were high up in ministry, high regarded in ministry, from Prayer of Israel type of ministry, and they were going into that church and they were saying exactly the same thing, time and time and time again. But the church refused to repent and turn from its ways. God doesn't care who he uses. All he's looking for is, are you available? Are you going to be the seed that God wants you to be?
Amen.
Amen? And then the next thing is, we've got to let God throw us into the right ground.
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes we think, I'll go over there. And God's saying, well, we'll have a look at it, shall we? We're taking a different format today, so glory to Jesus. Now the disciples didn't understand this parable. They're a little bit confused, you know. Why do you keep talking in parables? Why do you keep, you know. I'm trying to make it easy. He says, the reason I'm talking in parables, he says, because these smart religious people, these educated people, don't want to listen to the stories. And it just goes, you know, straight over the top of them. They don't have a clue what I'm talking about. You see? But he says, the people I've come to speak to, they understand every word. You know, it's hitting the point. It's hitting the place where it needs to be. But the educated people, oh, what if we don't need stories, do we? You know, give us the depth and the expansion and the meaning of the word, you know, and then we'll understand this, you know, none of this sort of over the top. Jesus said, I haven't come to the religious.
No.
Come to the sinners.
Amen.
We were once sinners. We're now saints. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who sin occasionally. But we're saints. Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus and says, you know, we don't write to dead people, do we? We write to a living, breathing, powerful church.
Amen.
We're the powerful church. It may not look like it, but you know, we're powerful in spirit.
Yeah.
You know, it's not by physical strength. It's not by numbers,
even. No.
Because when you look at the disciples at the day of Pentecost, he started with 12. At Pentecost, somewhere around 150 gathered. Yeah. And what are they doing? They're praying.
That's it.
They're in the presence of God. They're in the face of God. They're needing the hand of God to move. Prayer changes things. The most important thing that you and I can ever do is pray. And as we pray, we see God moving in mighty power. Hallelujah. And as they were praying, the Holy Spirit came down upon them and they were filled and spoke in tongues and all the dross was burnt up. And Peter, the guy that used to shoot his mouth off, but yet really was a chicken, you know, he did chicken run. Yeah. Not me, you know. Only needed a girl to say to him, "I know you, I've seen you with Jesus. Oh, I'm off," you know. Suddenly he stood in front of thousands of people and he begins to tell them who Jesus is, what he can do for them, and the power of the gospel. And he says, and 300 souls. Sorry, 3,000 souls. Yeah, I knew I'd miss an auto. 3,000 souls were added to the church. Wow, in a day. You know, we were doing a Lent course the other week at the URC church. And suddenly they dropped it on me to come and share. Anyway, but the thing that I was trying to get across most importantly was it's not about a badge. No. It's about together. Our buildings are not big enough to take on the congregation, to take on the needs of this community that is around us. Our buildings are not big enough. So there's no need to fight over how many people you got. Just forget it. They're not ours anyway. They all belong to Jesus. They're God's children. My responsibility is to feed sheep. Get the sheep fit and ready so they bear lambs. And then they bring the lambs in and we train the lambs and bring the lambs up to being sheep and then send some more lambs out and send some more sheep out and breed some more lambs. Glory to God. Nearly got that wrong, didn't I? I hope you're keeping up. Glory to God. So Jesus is with these parables, these stories. So let's have a look. So he begins to explain to them in verse 20, and it says, "And one of the seeds was sown in rocky places." And Jesus says, "This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." Wow, what a word! Excited he is about what he's received. And then it goes on to say, but yet, he has no firm root in himself. It is temporal. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And this so often happens. The problem is, and I remember this happening years ago, we used to preach a gospel, come to Jesus and everything will be fine. Yeah. Come to Jesus and I'm going to paint a target on your head and the devil's going to be shooting at it all the time. You know? Come to Jesus, life's a bed of roses. We used to have roses. Have you ever fallen in roses? My God, I came out scratched. Grace says, get them dug out, we're not having them. You know, these things grab you. So the Christian life is not a bed of roses. It's not an easy thing. The Christian life is for onward Christian soldiers marching unto war. Hallelujah. It's a battle, isn't it, sometimes, Tracy? It's a battle. But the Lord and His Word equips us for the battle. But you see, I suppose I ought to explain this before we go much further. What is the seed? Are we talking about actual seeds that we put in the ground or we swallow? Is that what we're talking about? We're talking about this very word. This is seed. This is seed. And every time you partake of this book, you're feeding yourself with the seeds of life and power and wisdom and knowledge and strength. You're feeding yourself off God Himself. Hallelujah. And sometimes it's good just to read it, to read it. And then suddenly God will speak to you because God stores it in you. When you've read it, then God just pulls it out when it's needed. Absolutely. And so here we have, it says, this seed falls, it's on a rocky place. It's like going on the pavements and the birds of the air can soon come down, steal and grab it, and it's gone. We feed the birds at our house. And today the woodpecker was there. And he was taking the nuts. He was there for ages, feeding, feeding. He was enjoying. The nuts are not going to last long. This nut's going to have to refill the nuts. But the word for us is life and health. Amen.
Amen.
Health. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Miracles.
Yes.
That's what the word is to us.
Yes.
And it needs every one of us to get hold of the word of God and let this word become a living, growing manifestation of the kingdom of heaven in our very lives. We carry the kingdom of God within us. We carry the anointing of God within us. We're not just empty vessels to rattle around. We're not just vessels that have been made clean. We're vessels that need to be filled with the Word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. And together, as in the beginning, God spoke the Word and the Holy Spirit moved over the earth, moved over the waters and created the life. And Jesus is the Word.
Yes.
So as Jesus is speaking about sowing seeds, He's saying, just keep sowing it. He says, and as you speak this word to people, you did it this last week or so, well, I followed on with you. But you know, He is the Lord of the harvest,
Amen.
Not me.
Amen.
I cannot make somebody get saved.
Yeah.
I cannot make people come to church.
Yeah.
Don't come for me.
Mm-hmm.
You could come for Jesus.
Amen.
Come for Jesus. And hopefully in the church you'll see Christ in each other.
Amen.
The risen Christ.
Amen.
That resides in each and every one of us.
Yeah.
This young man, 81 tomorrow.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
For years stood on the marketplace sowing seeds.
Amen.
Some fell on stony ground.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they? But you know, somebody was talking to you a few days ago, weren't they?
Oh, he's died since, but Paul witnessed to him, told him what to do.
Yeah. So the seeds were still in a man's life after all those years, and he was in the same home. And Tracy's another one. Tracy, you know, God, he spoke to Tracy. And do you know something? Because of that seed that he sowed, she's alive today. Amen? And brother, you have a great reward.
Amen.
Glory to God. And I thank God I'm not the reward giver, but He is. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so, we don't know. We have to continually keep sowing this seed and believe it and believe it and believe it.
Amen?
Amen. We have to do things and we think nothing's happening. And that comes a point when we challenge. Shall we give up?
No, never quit.
Pray.
Amen.
Never be a quitter.
No.
Pray.
Amen.
Jacob never quit when he wrestled with God. He hung on to him. I will not let you go. We need to be in that place where we say, I am not going to let God go. I am not going to let what God promised me go.
Amen.
You know, we've waited 18 years for that building. We had a prophecy 18 years ago. And I mean, you don't know the story. But beginning of last year, I was in the bathroom getting washed. I thought, I better do it once a year at least anyway, haven't we? Come on, guys. And I should have looked in the mirror. And I looked and I saw the colour of my hair. And I said, God, maybe that's just one that's not going to happen. I said, you know, I can retire soon. Unbeknown to me, Grace had actually was praying the same thing to the Lord and having that same conversation. See what I mean? We don't talk to one another, but we say the same thing.
Yeah.
We've been married that long, we don't have to talk to one another. She knows what I'm thinking. Oh, it is frustrating, brother. You know, you sit there and, you know, you're thinking you're chilling. You know, you've got this chill look on you. And then all of a sudden, I get this, I've been told to chill, okay? Rest. Then the next thing is, I thought I told you to rest. I am doing. No, you're not. I can see you thinking already. I'm like, you know, it's like, Lord, this woman thou gavest me. She's a blessing. Hallelujah.
Every day.
I agree with you, brother. I don't know where I'd be without her. I'd be lost. Amen. So praise God. We need each other. We need each other. Oh, I was just trying to. Where am I? Glory to Jesus. I'm glad somebody's listening to me anyway. We were planning a trip to Romania last year. Everything was just about set to go. And Graham was coming. And they messed his holidays up so he couldn't come. Constantly we had this sort of thing like the Spirit seemed to say, no, you're not going. But I want to go. There are needs there. And I get so blessed going there. But, and yet, you know, you're a blessing when you go to them. But so, you know, I get so much out of it for myself in that sense. And the Lord I just felt this Spirit just holding us back from going. So we didn't go. Graham calls me on a day that we should have been in Romania and says, there's a church building in Intake and it's empty. It's that way. I read your thoughts. That way. And I said, okay, I need a phone number. So, came back to me a little while later, I've got a phone number. So I call the person. And they pick the phone up and I begin to share with them, I hear this is this building, I hear you're on this committee. And I said, I've just got a vision for the work of God. And I began to share my vision that I've had for years. And this lady, when I'd finished, she's a minister, she says, well, I've just finished praying. As the phone rang, I'd just finished praying. And she says, everything I've prayed, you've just told me.
Wow.
Well, I didn't know that the committee was meeting that very afternoon to basically say, well, we're just going to have to dispose of the church we've got. We cannot find a use. Nothing. Nobody will take the building on. God's there right at the point of so many minutes to midnight.
Yeah.
You know, right there and then, that afternoon, the committee had an immediate turnaround. Everything was thrown into disarray. I met with the archdeacon a few weeks later, and after an hour and a half just listening to him and him to me, etc., he says to me, "So when do you want to move in?"
Ooh. Just like that.
Just, yeah. And I'm like, I did not know whether to jump up and down. I thought, you know, I better, you know, as a bishop, I suppose I must look reserved, and, you know, in the presence of an archdeacon. So I'm like, do I jump up and down? Do I shout and holler and scream? Oh, I felt like weeping with joy. And I just said, I don't know. I said, I didn't expect this conversation to actually get to this point yet. You know, the wheels of religion grind slowly. And he says, well, he says, what about beginning of September? I said, yeah, that'll be fine. 7th of September, we moved in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, and the wheels are moving forward. You know, we're going to take total possession. We're going to see the power of God moving. We're going to see God moving in power. We're going to see things change. We've already seen things change. I mean, these two guys here, gems, dug out of a pit. Well, they were. Dug out of the pit of sin. Hell bound. Weren't you? In a mess, really. But Jesus got hold of them. And he's begun to polish them and shape them and form them. These guys are real treasures. This one on this side, he's a real treasure as well. Thank God he's not gone their direction. Have you? Okay. If, come out here and I'll pray hands on you, buddy. You know, thank God. But these guys can be a signpost and an encouragement to him and say, you know, this is the way forward. This is the things that we have to move forward into. And so I'm believing God for a great work in youth. I believe, you know, there's a need in this area. And God is going to touch the youth in this area. We just need God's strategy and plans. But we're not going to give up on this. You know, start small. Jesus just had 12 disciples, but he turned the world the right way up. Yes. Amen. Didn't turn it upside down. It was already upside down. But when he got on this earth and he began to turn the world the right way up to where it should have been, you know, God created paradise in the beginning. He made a garden for man to live in. He created his paradise. The sin of Adam through Satan creeping in, sneaking in, destroyed paradise for us. Well, guess what? God's restoring paradise on the earth. I'm not looking for God to bail me out. I'm going on to the next message for next week. No, I better hold back. Hallelujah. You'll have to come for that one. Glory to God. We shall possess this land. Not might. I'm not looking for the rapture. The wicked leave first. I can prove it from the Bible. I can prove it because Jesus said it. The wicked are going first. The glory of God will be on the earth. As in the beginning, so shall it be. Amen. So I'm not looking to bail out and leave. I'm looking for a fight. Come on. Bring him on. Cut him down in Jesus' name. Amen. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we're just part of his army. And he says, just stand. Ephesians says, and having done everything, you're all there, stood in your armor. He says, what do I do? I'm ready, Lord. Stand. Yeah, it's true. Stand. Stand. And we stand there. and watch the salvation of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He sets the captives free.
Amen.
He sets them free.
Amen.
He's the miracle working God. He's the healing Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's Him who we worship. That's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The Prince of Peace. The bright and morning star.
Amen.
If you need peace, get hold of Jesus.
Amen.
He's got more peace than you'll ever need. And it's increasing and increasing and increasing. The Bible says so. Of His government there shall be no end. And of His peace there shall be no end. It will increase and increase and increase.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's increased in my life. I'm more at peace than I've ever been. Thank you. I still haven't lost my drive. You know, I still want to... But there's a peace.
Get out of your way.
Yeah. Don't get in my way. If I've got a target, I'm going through. I'm going straight through. You know? Single-eyed. Don't be distracted. We have a purpose. We have a God with a purpose. We have a Jesus with a purpose. He came to set the captives free. He came to redeem you and me back to Himself. What a seed He was.
Amen.
He planted Himself in good ground. And from that one seed, sprung nations of believers in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And guess what? We've got that seed to plant. We've got good seed. Let's look for the good ground. Lord, lead us to the good ground.
Yes.
Lord, and Lord, the ground that's not ready, Father, we pray You'll send out angels to begin to plow the ground for us. Amen? He says the angels are going to gather in. We're not gathering in. Well, let them go plow a bit as well, glory to Jesus. We'll scatter the seed, you know. Alice, give me a bag of seed and let's... Seed. It says that we're going to be overtaken. The reapers are going to overtake the sowers. How's that happen? You know, literally, you're throwing seed and it hits the ground and suddenly there it is, grown up, ready to harvest. Well, that's what it says in the Bible. Is it not? He said, we're going to be overtaken by the reapers. Watch out, there's an angel coming by. Duck, you know. That was close, nearly took my head off. Glory to Jesus. Oh no, I'm sure that the word says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
I wonder what a size an angel's size like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sharper than any two-edged sword. Whoa. Glory to God. He's the God that sets us free.
Yes.
The word says there's now no condemnation. Stop applying guilt into your lives. The devil does it all the time. He comes around knocking at the door and says, hey, you, do you remember when you did this wrong? It's like, he's dead. That person's dead.
Yes.
You're talking to a new person.
Amen. Yes.
New creation.
Amen.
Brand new man.
Amen.
Yeah, I make mistakes. But I'm redeemed.
Yes.
I'm redeemed. And the more I'm redeemed, and the more I get closer to Jesus, the less mistakes I'll make. But just remember, when you get saved, there's a target painted on your forehead, and the devil says, there's another one. You know? But wear the helmet of salvation. They'll just bounce off. Just bounce off. And that's why when people say things against you, just let it go by. You know? There isn't a bullet, there isn't a sword, there isn't a spear that can penetrate the helmet of salvation.
Amen.
Glory to God. This word is powerful. Where do we get to? 22. A ground full of thorns. We have a wood near us, and it's just at the edge of the motorway. And as you drive up this slip road, as I go by this slip road at a certain time of year, there are a couple of trees, and they are laden with apples, and nobody can get to them. So, being a bit of an adventurer, I decided I'm going to find out how to get to these apples. So I thought, I better not walk up the slip road, you know, I'll be walking up the slip road and there's this dee 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 dee, what are you doing? Nothing, officer. So I thought, I'll go through the wood. My pants were torn to shreds nearly, and my legs were bleeding. It was full of brambles. Then no matter where you went, it was... I thought, this is a dumb idea. I never found them trees. I traced this fencing, and I'm like, where is that tree? Well, it got to a point where I was feeling so shredded, I thought, forget it, I'm out of here. Christian life can be a bit like that sometimes, you know. Feels like you're just going through brambles and briars and you're being ripped to shreds. Every way you turn, there's another bramble. There's another thorn bush. And the devil's at you all the time. He's trying to rob your seed. He's trying to rob you of the promises. In your seed are promises. He's trying to rob you of the promises that God has given for you as well. Not going to do it, is he? Not going to rob us, is he? No. We're going to stand. And we're going to see God work in our lives. Brambles, afflictions, cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. Not putting God first. And I've been preaching on that subject, haven't I, on and off for a while. God first in all things. Before your family, before your wife, before your husband. God is first. God is first. You have to do that. My life, your life, comes from God. And the only time that we will be effective, fully effective, really empowered, is when we put that into place. That we keep our relationship with him right and true. That he's always first. And then, because then we're so blessed, because we're so empowered, because we have so much of God in our lives, then when we go to the ones we love, who do we take with us? What do we take with us? We take the love of God. We take the blessing of God. We take the peace of God. We take all of this with us. And we give it to our family and our friends.
Amen.
And we see an increase. But you see, the devil doesn't want that to happen. He wants you to have all the cares, all the worries, worrying about your children. Worry is a sin. Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. Cast, hurl all your care upon him, because he cares for you. God did not make you to carry burdens. You're not an ass, are you? You're not a donkey. You stand upright in the presence of the Creator of all things. He did not make you to carry burdens. He made you to worship him.
Amen.
To give him praise. And so if you've a burden, if there's something that is preying on your mind and on your heart, give it to him. Take it to Jesus. Leave it at the cross. Present it into the throne room of God and say, Lord, this is your problem. It is too big for me. Thank God, grace is God's problem, not mine.
Amen.
It's too big for me. You know, when you take your hands off your loved ones and say, God, they're yours. Yeah. I'm living and serving you. Mm-hmm. You see, I can only make decisions for me, mm-hmm. in truth. Mm-hmm. I can think I'm making decisions for Grace, mm-hmm. but let me tell you this. I know I've made decisions and she's changed her mind. Yeah. Or my mind, maybe, whichever the case may be. This sticks in my mind. Once in Sheffield, this is many, many years ago, we're walking down the moor, the shopping centre, and it's downhill, it's sloping downhill, holding hands with my beloved wife, and we're on the right-hand side of the pavements, walking down, and all of a sudden she says, oh, I want to go over there. So we set off walking across the road, okay? We get to the middle of the road. Suddenly, she decides she needs to be over there. She's now, something else has caught her eye. Now we're going this way. But there is no communication now that we are turning right. Okay? Yeah. So now I'm pushing left, and she's pushing right, and we're going down the middle of the main street, and cars are coming. I look at her and say, what are you doing? She says, I want to go over there. I says, well, just say so. So we get on the pavement and in front of us are two ladies. And now I'm so frustrated at this point in time now. I'm like, and I just said, I'm wearing leather-soled shoes on this, you know, these pavement areas, and I hit it flat down like that. Well, I just went, oh, and I just hit it so hard, and it echoed round the building, and these two ladies nearly jumped out the skin. It's like, just tell me. Tell me you've changed your mind. God, no. We hadn't been married long enough for me to know. Yeah. You know, I'm getting there now after about 43 years, but you know. But God never changes his mind. When God says something, he means it. And we've got to follow it through. We've just got to keep following him. Follow him. Don't let the cares, don't let the frustrations of everything else around you. Because all it will do is bring fruitfulness. No, fruitlessness. There'll be no fruit. You see, seeds are planted to get fruit. Or flowers. Aren't they? I know the Nepalese people love to grow flowers and plants. Yeah, I mean, we've got plants coming up in the church garden and that. And when you put something in, you see it grow and come to life. You know? God's word needs to be coming life to life. And but it needs to be sustained. You see? This ground, there's other things encroaching upon it. Work, trying to grab you away. Trying to steal your attention. Studying. Trying to rob your relationship with God. You've got to watch that. It's crucial. You know, you think, oh, I've got to study. Listen, if you never pass your exams, God will take you places where you've never been, because God opens doors that nobody else can open. God opens doors that exam qualifications can't open. Because when God says open, that door opens, even if it's locked. When Paul and Silas were in prison, they just began to worship God. And guess what? The doors opened, the chains fell off. Peter in prison, the doors just opened. First set of doors with sensors on them. You know, you got to the door, okay, yeah. Wow, fantastic, isn't it? Yeah. God invented that 2,000 years ago. Yeah. They say, oh, it's new. No, it's not. God had that 2,000 years ago. Oh, glory. So, God's not interested in what your education is, and I'm not against education. I've done that bit of thing and what have you. It's about the heart.
Amen.
It's about the ground. Amen. How good's this soil?
Yeah.
Can God put some good? Can God put His seed in here and see an increase?
Yeah.
Can God put seed in here and see an increase? Yeah. Can you sow that seed and see an increase?
Yeah.
This is God's all about increase. God is not a God that withholds. You know, so often people will preach, oh, well, you know, maybe you've done something wrong and God's holding out on you. What? You've done something wrong, all you've got to do is get down before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, whatever I've done wrong, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. And He says, you're forgiven. Receive my fullness of blessings. Oh, maybe I've got to walk on my hands and knees for, you know, half a mile and do penance. Maybe I've got to whip myself, you know, beat myself up. Exactly, the price has been paid 2,000 years ago. Jesus has forgiven us. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and Christ is in them. Amen? Glory to Jesus. Don't let your lifestyle hold you back from the things of God. So often people think, well, if I don't do this, I'm never going to have anything in the future. Well, my testimony is just the opposite. I gave everything up and I've never had so much.
Amen.
I had more. When I gave it all up, what I was working for, I got more back. Pressed down, shaken together and running over. I don't look bad on it, don't feel bad on it. You know? And as I said, that building... God told us 18 years ago, told us about the building, told us everything was paid for. He described it to us. I've rung the guy in America and spoke to him. And he's like, wow, this is God. He's gone in front of me by 18 years. Can you plan 18 years in front of your life? You don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow. You know, I mean, you young ones say, well, I'll be all right tomorrow. You haven't got a clue whether you're going to be all right tomorrow or not. God gives breath. I mean, you've seen the news this week. A 16-year-old girl murdered by her stepbrother. When she got up that morning... She was not expecting that. As far as she's concerned, she's got her whole life in front of her. I'm going to live till I'm 80, 90. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I have plans made in my life. And in a moment, her life is gone. I remember a story of a guy. He was a miner. So he had to be fit. And one day he was washing his car. And literally bent down like this, washing his car, collapsed and died in a moment. 30 years old. How long are you going to live for? As long as God gives me breath. As long as I'm prepared to walk in the vision and in the purpose and plans that God has for me, I'm going to live for that. You know, I say, well, the devil's not taking me yet. He's not going to get hold of me. He's not going to even kill me. He's had 3 attempts on my life. All of them's been car issues.
Yeah.
Ah, twice I've nearly been crushed under cars. In fact, no, there's been 4. I was once in Doncaster as a teenager. I nearly got run down by a car. I just heard this horn behind me. And I glanced behind and I could see this bonnet arriving rapidly towards me. Well, I was running like crazy. And I'm running like this now. You know? You see it on TV, you know, on the films and that. I was running like this, you know, the bonnet's here. And I'm thinking, God, I'm pumped, you know. Well, he managed to stop. I didn't. Whoa, I was rough, you know. Because if the car didn't kill me, he's going to kill me.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I took off and I left. You know, keep going, keep going. The devil wants rid of me. God's got plans for me.
Amen.
I've got things to do. It's always keeping focus on Him. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He has a plan for me. He has a destiny for me. And as long as I'm walking in relationship with Him, that destiny will be fulfilled.
Yes.
Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Where do we get to? Oh, hallelujah. And verse 23, and it says, "And the one whose seed was sown on the good soil, this is a man who hears the word." Wait a minute. "And understands it. Who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold." Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's a God of multiplication. You know, he said, go forth in the beginning in creation. He said, go forth and add to one another. He said, multiply.
Amen.
God's a God of multiplication. Hallelujah. The cross is not a plus sign. It's a sign of multiplication of the things of the kingdom of God and the sons of God.
Amen.
That one son will be multiplied into millions of sons of God.
Amen.
Jesus, the second Adam.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Son of God, the Messiah, came to die that you and I might become sons of God. There is a multiplication going on right now in the realm of the Spirit that you and I cannot see. But it is going on. Just because you can't see, it does not mean it's not happening. And we have to believe God that what we're believing Him for and what He said and His promise to us, that these things are already happening, and yet though we cannot see, we believe.
Amen.
Because that is a walk of faith.
It is.
I don't walk by sight.
No.
As I said, beginning of the last year, I sort of went by a bit of sight and said, "Look, I say to this, Lord, it's going grey. I can retire." He must have chuckled and laughed at me. When he gave us the building, I went back to see him.
Yeah.
I said, "God, you aren't. I've got a sense of humor, aren't you?
Yeah.
I don't believe you've just done this to me." And I could hear him laughing, not in mocking, but with joy.
Yes.
I'm prepared, and we're prepared to receive it.
Yeah.
And because of that, I've had a. My family's been added to.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
My family's been added to.
Amen.
These are my sons.
Amen.
In the things of God. These are my brother and sisters.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God.
Amen.
My family's been added to.
Thank you, Jesus.
The family's growing.
Amen.
It's expanding.
Amen.
That means the kingdom of God
Yes.
is expanding.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because the seeds are being sown.
Yeah.
Find the good ground. And if we haven't got the good ground, then let's plow it with prayer.
Amen.
Let's plow with prayer.
Yes.
We meet on a Wednesday for prayer.
Yeah.
Come along, pray. Come along and pray, and you will see God has been answering prayers like that.
Yes.
We've refreshed our prayer meeting, and in these last few weeks, as we've prayed for things, suddenly the next week, answered.
Yeah.
Answered. Yeah. Answered. It's like, wow. You know, it's like bullseye, bullseye, bullseye. We got marksmen in prayer. And that's what we need. We need to have people who can take out the devil and his demons with prayer.
Amen.
And pull down the strongholds. And see the kingdom of God established on the earth. And the strongholds are in people's minds. And God has come to set the captives free through Jesus Christ. And we are the hands and the feet and the voice of a living God on the earth. And let's declare it, hallelujah, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so passionate about what I believe. Some folk think I'm half crazy. Well, maybe half of me is crazy, but the other half's not. Glory to God. So I'm half and half, hallelujah. But I'm on fire for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You see, I want everything God has got for me. I want to drink to the very bottom. So that when I'm gone, there's nothing left.
Yeah.
Nobody can drink out of my cup.
No.
Because it's empty.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because I've used every ounce of it. Amen. Used every drop of it. Amen. In the work of the kingdom. Amen. For His glory, not mine. Because I know my reward's not down here. It's not my church. It's His church.
Amen.
He's the healer. He's the one who brings increase. He's the one who set captives free. He's the one who can love you when you're stinking in sin. And we struggle. He's the one who loves you when you do something wrong. And the church wants to judge you and condemn you. We have to have the mind of Christ. We have to have the mind of Christ. And to get the mind of Christ, this word, the Bible, the precious word of God needs to be sown into us time and time and time again, that it might renew and refresh and bring us to a point of absolute, total blessing and relationship and peace in the presence of an almighty God. That's where God wants you to be at peace in His presence. You've heard me say, and many others, God wants you to come and sit on His knee.
Yes.
That's how close the relationship is. It's a father and son.
Yes.
It's a father and son. Forget the God moment, although He is God.
Yes.
And don't disregard Him when it's a father and son relationship. Because Father's always right. He's lived longer. He's made the mistakes before you. Take note. But you see, He wants this father and son relationship, that there is that bonding. There's that love. There's that embrace that only a father and son can have. And each and every one of us can come into His presence and know that sweet embrace. Know that relationship and feel the touch of His hand upon our very lives. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I better finish there, because I could preach all night tonight.